You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Sue Tackey's and Umari Osman's day-to-day lives are very different. Tackey is an artist and a dryland farmer in the north central Idaho's Camas Prairie, and Osman is a refugee from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. But the two of them share a love of batik. This is an art form. Olivia Wheats visited them while they were doing batik at an art studio in Boise.
Do I wax over the calf, too?
You wax all over the batik.
Sue Tackey is applying wax over a wobbly day-old calf that she's drawn and dyed onto this piece of fabric.
And you can use old sheets. This is fabric that Amiri purchased.
A pot of wax sits between them. It's propped up next to the newspaper-covered table that they share.
The wax is dollar store candles that we melt in this little, what do you call these, little skillets. When you smell the batik, you can smell the vanilla.
Amiri Osman introduced her to this kind of wax. Prior to this, Tackey was using a combination of beeswax and paraffin to produce batiks that were mostly nature scenes.
Almost all of the batik that I have done has been inspired by the beauty that's around me. And because I live in rural Idaho, I've got the fields, the open, you know, the open vista.
Osman explains, silhouettes work well in this medium. Batik is made by applying wax onto fabric in layers, using it to resist color from dyes. What doesn't tend to work well, scenes with a lot of color and detail.
He keeps telling me to go simpler with my drawings, because this is not paint, it's wax.
The calf was a step in that direction, but she's worried that it will end up looking like a cartoon. She's in an apprenticeship with Osman offered by the Idaho Commission on the Arts Folk and Traditional Arts Program. Osman has been doing batik for 35 years. He initially learned from his uncle in the Congo and later took art classes in Tanzania. Sometimes, he'll start a sketch and work on it for weeks before he pencils it on fabric. Other times, he freehands.
Then here I'll put the sun, the shining of the sun. Somewhere in the middle, a new tree is coming up.
There's a deeper meaning behind this, Osman says, about renewal.
There's something new is coming. You'll come up and shining again.
The first piece Tackey saw by him was a woman with children on a bicycle with
the suggestion of an arm, the suggestion of a leg, and from it, you know that it's a woman and her children on a bicycle.
Tackey says she would have been tempted to include more facial features, the spokes on the bicycle. But she's realizing that in batik, that's not always needed.
I have to learn, you know, what is the absolutely necessary information so that the viewer gets what it is that I'm trying to convey.
Osman has some advice for how Sue Tackey can evolve as a batik artist.
There's no need to have a lot of colors.
Are you saying if you use fewer colors, you can still understand the image?
Yeah.
We're going to crack the wax. So put hand behind it, and then Amiri says, you do it hard. In the beginning, I was too timid with the cracks. You know, I thought that I needed to be quite a bit more cautious with it.
The cracks in the wax re-expose the fabric.
If I hold it up to the window, you can see how the dye has come through the cracks and into the background. Then you can evaluate and see if there's anywhere else that you want to add some more. I think it looks good.
In these quieter moments, she's tried to put herself in his shoes.
What if I was a refugee in the Congo and I didn't speak Swahili or French and I'm trying to make a living in this whole new country, and my heart is drawn to doing art, but I have to work in food service in a hotel to pay the bills.
That was Osman's first job when he moved to Boise a couple of years ago. Now he's employed at a company that produces linens and uniforms.
But the wax really flies during this process. It goes everywhere.
Now it's time to iron off the rest of the wax.
The calf, to me, looks too cartoony. You know, I don't know what it is about Amiri's work that he does these very simple drawings and they don't look like cartoons. They're very sophisticated.
Sue Tackey may be her own worst critic, but she's taken what she's learned from her mentor to heart. Her next two pieces are silhouettes with fewer colors. She'll make these at her farmhouse near Cottonwood, Idaho. But when she visits Boise, she plans to melt wax again with Amiri. In Boise, Olivia Wheats, Boise State Public Radio News.
Cowboy boots can be works of art for those who design and wear custom-made boots. Expression can be found in everything, from stitch patterns and custom inlays to the kind of leather used. Olivia Wheats is taking us into a boot shop near Mackey, Idaho.
Started out just nails and leather, built to last and made for weather.
Cowboy boots. Movie stars and country musicians have been wearing them since the 1920s, when bright colors and fancy stitching patterns became popular. It's ranchers, though, that really put them to the test.
My name is Keith Hill. I've been in cow business all my life on ranches.
Hill's boots are dark brown with gold and blue stitching. His cattle brand is on the front. He says there's a big difference between factory-made boots and this pair.
These boots are just higher quality. They're better material, better workmanship, you know, better fit. Of course, they're handmade and custom-made for my feet.
That quality of workmanship is harder to find these days.
Oh, absolutely. People don't care, you know. Actually, Seth takes a lot of pride in this, and he builds them for his friends and neighbors and, you know, people he knows, so he makes them really good.
Seth is Seth Teichert. His shop is located in the garage of his ranch house near Mackey, Idaho. Near the sewing machine, a window offers stunning views of the Lost River mountain range.
The majority of my boots have got a tall heel, kind of the underslung look, and a small heel cap. Most people want that. Whether or not they ride a horse, it's that look.
The heel slants inward from the back.
That's called underslung, correct.
Today, he's teaching his wife, Natalie Teichert, how to measure a foot for a boot.
So after I get that, I'll ask him, what size do you normally wear?
A 7.
Besides being his wife, Natalie is also an apprentice to Seth. She recently applied and was awarded an apprenticeship offered by the Idaho Commission on the Arts Folk and Traditional Arts Program. With this arts grant, her husband is now teaching her the trade.
Well, I think actually I want this coral leather right there. I think I want that as my top. I'm going to inlay in that turquoise for a bluebird.
But Seth recommends she keep it simple, especially for her first pair.
In your mind, you picture you want to do this really fancy, nice pair of boots, when in reality, you should be doing a very basic, easy pair, getting the basics down, learning how to run the sewing machines, learning how to measure and cut and put the patterns together.
Seth is a perfectionist. Natalie is not. But she says that they've usually found ways in their marriage to balance out each other's tendencies.
I just have to come in here with the mindset of, I can't take offense to anything. I can't get my feelings hurt over everything. I just have to know that he's trying to help me improve and do better. And as long as I can keep that, there's not going to be any hurt feelings in the boot shop or, you know, in our marriage. It'll be, I think it's going to be good.
All the way up. Don't short stroke it.
Before long, Natalie is sewing together her first pair of boots, but there's not a bluebird to be found on the leather.
I love the way that it turned out, actually, even better than if I had used my original pattern that I had in mind.
After a few circular patterns gone awry, she ended up stitching a square quilt pattern with pinks and purples that cascades down the front of the boot.
And it almost looks like a chandelier coming down. It's shorter on the sides, it gets longer towards the middle.
Natalie has a knack for designing patterns. She's still working on some of the structural aspects, nailing wooden pegs in the soles, for instance. But for now, where she lags, Seth will pick up the slack. They've become a bootmaking team.
Together we would build the pattern so we know it fits. And then she really enjoys finishing the boot, the dyes and the polish.
These polished boots that Natalie has made won't be trotting through cow patties. They're her going-to-town boots.
I wish I could tell you I go places that are cool, but really I'm going to wear them to the grocery store. I'm going to wear them to church. Maybe I'll be able to talk Seth into taking me dancing, and then I'll wear them someplace that they deserve to go.
It won't be long until Natalie is kicking up her heels. Near Mackey, Olivia Wheats, Boise State Public Radio News.
And the next profile Olivia will be doing is on a percussionist from Iran who plays a hand drum. I want to thank all of you for joining us today. Remember, we will be taking the State of the State address live at 1 p.m. You've been listening to Idaho Matters. My producer, Samantha Wright, and Richard Copeland. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Thanks so much for taking some time out of your day to listen to Idaho Matters, and we will see you back here tomorrow.